Hi, this is Rick. I'm going to talk about the paradoxical theory of change. In 1970, the therapist Arnold Beiser, B-E-I-S-S-E-R, wrote a four-page article that is stunning in its importance and its simplicity. And in it, he said that people don't change because we try to make them change. They change because they become fully aware of what's going on right now. The forces working toward the change, the forces working against it, things that might have been out of their awareness. And even though Beiser was writing for therapists, those of us who use Gestalt as a base for our organizational practice find it to be extraordinarily practical. It's not that we're doing therapy, but that same phenomenon of organizations trying to make change happen and missing paying attention to what's going on right now. Open book management is a great example of that kind of thing. And I'm a big fan of open book management, which literally is you open the book so that people can see what's going on. And often when the books are open and people can actually understand all these numbers and see how those numbers relate to their own work. In other words, how their work either makes the numbers look better or makes them look worse, can have a powerful impact on people wanting to do things. In other words, people wanting to change or feeling some urgency to change. Part of this not knowing what's going on can be not knowing what's going on in another department, another portion of the organization, a different level, and so on. My colleague Regina and I were doing some work in a healthcare system. There were a couple of hospitals and some ancillary care units, and they'd gone through this merger. The merger wasn't going as planned, which is pretty common with mergers. There was kind of a prevailing belief that the new executive team, that was really the place to be. Those people just had it really good. Then there was one hospital that was preferred, and the other hospital wasn't as preferred because of the people who had come from the preferred hospital, and so on and so forth. So Regina and I didn't want to push this organization or these people to go anywhere. We simply wanted to heighten their awareness of what was going on. And so one of the first things we did during the day, we said, all right, get in your own groups. And I think there were something like 5-6 different groups. And we said, all right, so what do you gain from this merger? What do you lose? Pretty simple question. Now, the assumption was the people that were in this new headquarters office, that was the place to be. That was pretty cool stuff for them. Well, what was stunning to everyone in the room, including Regina and me, is as the groups reported, every one of the lists looked like the other lists. In other words, things were interchangeable. You couldn't tell which group had written which list. And when they got to this new executive unit, their list looked like everybody else's. You literally could feel a shift starting to take place in that room. And we started to notice as the day went on that people started chomping at the bit of us trying to stay exactly where they were so they could understand it, and them wanting to move to action. So if we use the cycle, they made a case. They got it. We need to do merger integration. We may not have liked the merger in the first place, but right now, where we are, we need merger integration. So now let's get started, which is the next stage in the cycle. And they started pushing for it. And you could hear the verbs change. You could hear people are talking about doing things. They're talking about action. They're not asking questions about, so what's this? What's up with all that? And instead of talking about them and those and pointing fingers at you, people were starting to talk about us. And by the end of the day, they had started to develop plans, not because we had tried to make that happen, but because we created a container for people to look at things. So even though there's a great desire on the part of leaders to move ahead, because after all, that's what you're getting paid for, you've got this project, there's some urgency and all, the paradox is if you stick where you are right now and do the work where you are right now, that supports movement to the next stage. So if people are in the dark, one of the stages of change, and they don't see a need for this change, don't feel any importance, that's where the work is. And as that work gets complete, you will start to feel these horses at a starting gate wanting you to open the gates so they can get started, which is the next stage. If they're at the getting started stage, you need to do the work there. You need to be willing to look at the pitfalls of change in your organization. You need to look at plans that people are going through and the skepticism, like, been there, done that, we're not going to really do anything. And all of that work allows us to move on to the next stage. If you're interested in reading Beiser's article, even though it's written for therapists, I still think it's a very good article, and I think you'd be able to connect the dots easily. It's Arnold Beiser, Beisser. Just do a Google search with the phrase paradoxical theory of change, and you'll find it.